The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. I'm looking at my drenched shirt on the YouTube feed. We are in the midst of a downpour here in Edmond, Oklahoma, but that's okay if you can put up with a soaked shirt on the YouTube stream. We could sure use the rain here in central Oklahoma. It was a nice day yesterday and a little bit of rain here and there, but this is definitely a downpour. We're here at the last show of the week. It's already Friday, hard to believe, coming into our final weekend before classes begin. And I walked through the dining hall last night, saw quite a few of the new freshmen who are now on campus, so that's very exciting to see. We've got a pretty big freshman class of 25 or 26 students, I believe. So we're excited to kick things off with orientation on Monday. And then, of course, classes start next Wednesday. For the academy, it's orientation on Monday night, and then Tuesday morning, the first day of classes. Well, coming up on today's program, we're going to be talking about the real spirit world. We had those two programs last week about horror movies and just the addiction that so many young people have to video games and entertainment, the entertainment-crazed age that we're living in. And we'll turn to the Bible in the second segment. For instruction on how we ought to avoid all of these demonic influences, and they really are everywhere. So that's coming up in the next segment. Drudge Report had a link to an article on prophecy, but as per usual, the story, it was really a silly story about a fox that appeared on the Temple Mount. Evidently, there's a verse or a section in the Talmud that says rabbis would be talking about a fox being on the Temple Mount. So this caught the attention of, someone, I forget the source. In any event, Mr. Hilliker had an article a year ago about some of these silly prophecies that are sometimes given some attention on sites like the Drudge Report. He talked about this in November last year, Mr. Hilliker. He said, yet people are interested. They are curious about end-time Bible prophecy. But what a shame. What a shame that their interest is squandered on false, worthless prophecies that divert them from real, honest, in-depth consideration of the actual end-time prophecies of God. It really is a diversion or a distraction away from the true prophecies of God. Imagine if the Drudge Report were to link to one of the fulfilled prophecies of our time, maybe Brexit, for example. Something that Mr. Armstrong was talking about back in the 1950s. And now we see it unfolding. Mr. Hilliker says, even in today's secular Bible-hating society, people have a sense that there's something to Bible prophecy. And that's because there definitely is. So I guess if there is one positive to make out of these crazy stories that get attention sometimes, it's that people do have an interest in prophecy. They are curious. When they see the word prophecy, it does make some of them sit up and take note. If only, this is from Mr. Hilliker's piece, if only at the top of Drudge Report next week, this headline appeared: the four signs that biblical prophecies about the end of the world and the Messiah are coming true. That's actually an article that we have at the trumpet.com website. If only that would be linked to. It says, if only it linked not to the tabloid content of the Mirror, but to the trumpet.com. And what would be waiting for millions of people interested in Bible prophecy who click the link? Well, then he mentions the article that we have at the trumpet.com website. There are there are a lot of people who are concerned about events in this world. Not as many as there should be, because as I said last week, we are distracted with entertainment and gadgets and things of that nature. But there are some. We see them at the PAX we're going to in Toronto, in Raleigh. People who know that we're living in the last days. You read some of these things, as we'll touch on in the next segment, about these mass shooters and just what they're spending their time doing. Just ruining their minds, just filling their minds with all kinds of demonic content. And then they carry out these shooter fantasies, in the case of the El Paso shooter and the one in Dayton, too. He was addicted to violent video games as well. So we'll get into that a little bit more in the next segment. I just want to follow up here briefly on yesterday's show. This white supremacist hoax, Tucker Carlson was the one who who sounded that alarm earlier this week. And of course, he's withstood a firestorm of rebuke and anger coming from the radical left for saying those things. But here again, when you look at what the media are doing, when you look at what presidential candidates are saying, as I covered yesterday, last night on ABC, they put together, well, it was kind of like a little summary, a one-minute summary of some of the things we talked about on the first part of the program yesterday. These Democratic presidential candidates who are out there calling President Trump a white supremacist. This is clip one.
Do you believe that the president is a white supremacist?
I believe everything the president says and has done encourages white supremacists. And I'm not sure there's much of a distinction. As a matter of fact, it may be even worse.
Several of Biden's opponents have gone even further.
Is the president a white supremacist?
He is. He's also made that very clear.
In an interview with the New York Times, Elizabeth Warren reportedly responding yes when asked if she thinks President Trump is a white supremacist. Today in Iowa, Warren doubled down.
He can't have it both ways. He can't keep trying to stir this up, give aid and comfort, be embraced by the white supremacists, and then say, oh, but not me. No, he's responsible.
After the hate-filled massacre in El Paso, Trump has insisted his rhetoric is not to blame.
No, I don't think my rhetoric has at all. I think my rhetoric is a very, it brings people together.
So there's an ABC report. With all the reporters out there asking O'Rourke, asking Biden, asking Elizabeth Warren, all of these leading questions. We'll come to an example of that, an even better example of that in just a second. But first, I just want to play another clip. This is a Breitbart reporter who confronted Joe Biden on the campaign trail to tell him that he had been misquoting or taking it out of context, what the president said in 2017 in Charlottesville, that he was out there basically spreading a lie. This is an exchange between the Breitbart reporter and the former Vice President Joe Biden. Clip two.
Mr. Vice President, are you aware that you're misquoting Donald Trump in Charlottesville? He never called neo-Nazis very fine people.
No, he called all those folks that walked out of that, they were neo-Nazis, shouting hate, their veins bulging.
But he said specifically that specifically. He was condemning them.
He said, not. He said he walked out and he said, let's get this straight. He said there were very fine people in both groups. They're chanting anti-Semitic slogans, carrying flags. But you're aware.
So that's Mr. Biden riled up there because of being confronted by a reporter who's just trying to remind him of what was actually said. President Trump specifically stated, this is a quote, I'm not talking about the neo-Nazis and the white nationalists because they should be condemned totally. I'm not talking about them. What I'm talking about are those who are protesting whether or not this statue should be pulled down. And there's good people on both sides, or fine people, as he put it. But he specifically stated that I'm not talking about the neo-Nazis. I'm not talking about the white nationalists. And that's what Joe Biden, if you remember, when he kicked off his campaign, he built it around Charlottesville. And the fact, as he sees it, that Donald Trump is a racist. And so here he is now. He's advancing it further. He's a white nationalist. He's emboldening white nationalists. He's out there calling neo-Nazis fine people, if you can believe it. And then he's confronted on it, and he just insists, no, he did say it. Well, he didn't say it. He actually said, no, he did say it. That's the response coming from the front runner among the Democrats. Now, Kamala Harris, she's also in the running. I don't know where she is at as far as the percentages go, but this, listen to this exchange. It's a little bit long, but listen to how many, you can hardly hear it at the first part, but listen to how many times the reporter asks her if she thinks that Donald Trump is a white supremacist. This is clip three.
Do you believe, as Elizabeth Warren and Beto O'Rourke have said, that he is a white supremacist?
I think you should ask him that question.
Are you willing to say that?
I think you should ask him that question. I'd be interested to see what his answer is.
Joe Biden has said today that the president, as what he has done, quote, encourages white supremacy, that he doesn't feel that there's much of a distinction, and what he is doing may be even worse. Do you concur?
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. I think that's absolutely right. This is a president who has, I mean, we don't even need to, the sad thing about this is it's no longer really a debatable point. There is just a long list of statements and tweets and behaviors from this president that make it very clear that he possesses hate, and that he is divisive, and that he is a racist.
Is it important to call him a white supremacist, though, as some of your competitors have said?
I think it's important to call it what it is, which is that we have a president of the United States who does not reflect the values of who we are as a people. He is someone who empowers white supremacists and who condones their behavior. And that is not the kind of president that I think most Americans can be proud of, much less support.
So to her credit early on, she says, well, why don't you go ask the president? This reporter saying that Elizabeth Warren has said this, Beto O'Rourke has said this, they've called him a white supremacist. Do you think he's a white supremacist? And she says, well, go ask him. And then the reporter says, are you willing to say that? She won't let it go. And then again, Harris says, well, go ask him. And so then she comes at it from a different angle. She says, now, well, Joe Biden says he's out there encouraging white supremacy. Would you say that? What about that? And then it gets to the end. Still not letting it go. The reporter says, is it important to call him a white supremacist? This is a reporter trying to get to the news, I guess. And then Harris pretty much comes around to state what Vice President Biden stated. It's the reporters who are out there pushing it, except for the few like Breitbart. But the mainstream, they're out there pushing this. It's their agenda. They're driving this. And what would be interesting, maybe we should do a segment on this later on. But it's been interesting to see just how they've sort of eased into their statements this week. And then one runs with it. O'Rourke was perhaps the fastest to go with it. He's from El Paso. He's lagging behind the others. So he comes right out, straight up, and says he's a white supremacist. And then Elizabeth Warren follows. Biden was kind of, you know, he didn't say it as strongly at first. Now he's coming around. He's confronted by Breitbart, and he gets angry. Yes, he did say it. Oh, yes, he did. He said those neo-Nazis were very fine people. And then now you have the reporters pressing, just pressing. It's a full court press on Kamala Harris. Don't you think it's important that you say it too? Your competitors are saying it. You've all got to say it. We're saying it in the media. Listen to this commentator last night on CNN, Wajahat Ali. He's talking about Tucker Carlson and what Carlson said earlier this week about this hoax. This is clip four.
Well, they need to answer why they've given an hour every night to a white supremacist, Tucker Carlson, because there might not be enough white supremacists in America to fit in a football stadium, but there is one for Fox News every night. His name is Tucker Carlson. If you don't believe me, Andrew Anglin, the leading neo-Nazi of the Daily Stormer, says that Tucker Carlson is, quote, literally our greatest ally. He says that Tucker Carlson's show is all of their talking points mainstreamed. So you have to ask yourself, if you are a Fox News patron or a supporter, why do you support Tucker Carlson's show when he is literally saying, after a mass shooting attack, an act of white supremacist terrorism that has killed more than 22 people in El Paso, he uses his platform to say that white supremacy is a hoax.
So that's one of the many critics from the radical left who are attacking Tucker Carlson for what he said earlier this week. One of the main sources that they're using to criticize Carlson is a report from the ADL on murder and extremism in the United States in 2018. But as Richard pointed out this morning in his news report, they're twisting the facts and revelations from that report to suit their agenda. The media, for one, they're pretending that all extremism coming from this report, relying on this report, they're saying that all extremism basically is fueled by white supremacy. And the thing is, if you look through this report, there's extremist violent acts on all sides, all races. But these reporters, they're so dishonest. They're using this to say that it's all white supremacist. It's all from the whites. And it's not even the truth. You go in front of Joe Biden and said, well, here's the facts. Here's what he actually said. And he says, no, he didn't. He didn't say that. I know what he said. He said those neo-Nazis were fine people. The truth just gets cast to the ground. They don't care what the truth is. The Federalist, in commenting on this ADL report, Murder and Extremism in the U.S., in 2018, the Federalist says, in other words, to prop up the lie that extremists are rampantly committing violent, racially motivated crimes in America, any crime by an extremist of any race is cited, whether or not that crime had anything to do with white supremacy. They just lump it all together and say all of this is because of white supremacy, even if they're black people carrying out the extremist acts. Anything they can do to fan the flames of hate. It was interesting that the Media Research Center, they highlighted an NBC News report last night. This investigation into some of these YouTube clips that have gone viral where whites have called the police because of unusual behavior, the way they see it, of an African-American or a black person. And so these videos go viral. And listen to this report from NBC as they come to realize now that a lot of this, these viral videos, they're going viral because of Russian meddling, Russian interference. This is from NBC News last night, clip 5.
All I'm asking is what unit.
But I don't need to tell you that information, man.
If you want to come into my building.
It's not your building. You're not the owner.
Tolles eventually pushed his way in, the woman following him to his unit and calling police.
I think it was race. I think it was age. I think it was the clothes that I had on because I had on a hoodie.
And you see my keys in the door.
I had to pull out my phone just because of the way society is.
Oh, I want the cops here right now.
The encounter is the latest viral video capturing questionable behavior as police are called on African Americans for seemingly no reason.
Did I just send that to you? Charcoal grill, but not a charcoal grill.
From barbecuing to babysitting while black.
Turns out these videos and dozens of others, all inflaming racial tensions in America, did not go viral by accident. They were pushed and promoted by Russian operatives, according to new research by cyber experts at Clemson University.
Some of these stories would have never gone viral without the influence of Russian disinformation. Their ultimate goal is to divide this country.
The ultimate goal of these Russian operatives, it's to divide the country, to divide the United States. And so here's NBC admitting that these videos inflame racial tensions. But what NBC doesn't tell you is that months ago, or in the case of one of those clips from last year, it was NBC, it was the major networks that were out there promoting these viral videos. So they don't even report the fact that they were schooled by these Russian operatives who were out there promoting it, pushing it, anything to divide America. And here are these same viral videos before this Clemson study. It wasn't just a YouTube video. They reported on it. It's October 15th, 2018. The woman that confronted the black man in the apartment saying, "Are you really a tenant here?" And that was headline news. October 15th last year. Lester Holt on the nightly news. This is NBC World News Tonight. This is 20, they have 20 minutes. You take away the commercials, they have 20 minutes to summarize the main events, the newsworthy events of the day. And one of them was a white woman who confronted a black man in an apartment and then asked him, "Do you actually live here?" That was world news tonight, last October. Now we find out that these Russian operatives were there pushing and promoting these kinds of things, wanting it to go viral, anything to divide the United States. And of course, what wasn't reported last night, but what's obvious if you look at the history of their reporting, is that NBC, ABC, all these main networks, they're quite happy to help the Russians divide the country. Look at what they did with President Trump. The Russia collusion hoax. We were talking about this, just the priorities, the things that they focus in on those major networks. I forget who it was. Maybe it was Mr. Hilliker and a few others. But just the fact, the United States is a nation of, 330 million people? If you want to find someone, a white person who makes a racially insensitive remark, that is no problem. You're going to be able to find that in a nation of this size. And they are looking for it. They are hunting for it. You heard the reporter. She's there sitting with Kamala Harris. Isn't it important for you to say this? That's the agenda-driven bias that they have. They are out there hunting for anything that's divisive, anything that's driving the races apart. They're pushing it and promoting it. This is a quote from Lester Holt's report, October 15th, 2018. Now to St. Louis and growing outrage over video of a white woman stopping a black man from entering his own apartment. It's racking up millions of views. That was main news a year ago. And then we learned from the same network last night that it was Russian operatives pushing and promoting this kind of thing. And of course, NBC is nowhere near saying, you know what, we had a hand in this as well. They should say that. If they were honest, they'd say that. From that report a year ago, Lester Holt said, it's the latest in a string of racially tinged incidents on camera. If it's racially tinged, if it's on camera, if it's aimed at minorities, it's going to be featured. It's going to be headline news. Now, that's not to say there aren't any newsworthy incidents like that. But in any nation where there's hundreds of millions of people, you can frame it just about any way that you want. And this past week, we've seen a pretty good example of that. Charlottesville, another example. Joe Biden's out there framing it exactly the way he wants it to be. And then he's confronted on it. Well, actually, you're misstating it. You're misquoting him. He never said that the neo. In fact, he specifically condemned the neo-Nazis. But that doesn't matter. They just go out there saying it. They have no problem lying. They have no problem using or even citing a report about all of this white supremacist violence, even when a lot of the violent acts in that very report are committed by black people. They won't tell you the truth. They won't report the facts. It all has to be their narrative, their agenda. You can't trust them. You just can't trust them. No wonder the president just goes on and on and on. It is fake. So much of it's absolutely fake. And then here last night, without probably realizing it, NBC reporting about its own agenda-driven push to promote these racially tinged incidents. They do it all the time. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you'd like to email the program, you can send comments to td@kpcg.fm. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily.
A turning point in recent history has gone almost entirely overlooked. Since that time, an unseen cause has brought about national and world troubles in unprecedented fashion. Crises are intensifying as never before. In our generation, we are seeing radical changes to culture, family, education, religion, science, finance, politics, international relations. Everything has been affected. You cannot understand events without recognizing this unseen cause. The United States has been shaken in astonishing fashion. Have you wondered why the world's number one superpower is declining so rapidly? Are you concerned about where the current administration is leading this country? The Bible provides penetrating insight into the invisible cause of society's decline. America is prophesied to fall before it rises again. The Bible also gives extraordinary insight into how that fall will come about. This insight puts the seriousness and urgency of current events in their true perspective. Understand what's in store for America and why. Visit thetrumpet.com and click on the literature tab to request this free, enlightening booklet, America Under Attack.
The Trumpet Daily.
Last week we had two programs, as I said earlier, on the subject of these violent video games, and then also just the prevalence of horror movies, and not just movies. We talked a bit also about some of the series that you see on Netflix and Amazon Prime and those sorts of services where you can just have anything streaming into your house. And so much of the content, just hyper-sexualized, violent, of course. This Dayton shooter, there's a report on his notebook, things that he wrote in his notebook. The Daily Mail reports the Dayton gunman, Connor Betts, depraved appetite for murder, drugs, and Satanism is laid bare in a series of chilling journal entries obtained exclusively by the Daily Mail. It says the warped loner, he was 24 years old, declares himself a servant of evil incarnate and rants about everything from schizophrenia to satanic rituals and massacres. The Daily Mail says, finally, the frightening pages were revealed by a former friend who paints a confounding picture of Betts as a frequent methamphetamine smoker who played violent video games but was never a racist or interested in weapons. Well, I guess that changed later on. But he played violent. He was on drugs. He played violent video games. He freaked out his girlfriend, as we covered earlier this week. And obviously, when you look at any of these kinds of deranged lunatics, they are extreme. They're extreme examples. Yet at the same time, when you look at the entertainment, look at, as I said last week, look at the movies and all this extreme violence that the movies glorify or that the video games glorify. If we keep filling our minds up on this content, well, there's other factors, as I've been covering, the breakdown of the family and so on. But boy, when you look at what young people are just pouring into their minds, there's lots of really helpful instruction in your Bible. God giving us specific commands to avoid witchcraft and evil spirits, to avoid all of that evil content, so much of it that we see in movies and video games. I'll just read a section of scripture for you from Deuteronomy 18. This is Deuteronomy 18 and verse 9. It says, "When you are come into the land which the Eternal your God gives you, you shall not learn to do after the abominations of those nations." When you come into a new land, he was talking to Israel. He told the Israelites, don't you get caught up in all of that idolatry, all of that witchcraft, all of those abominations. Stamp it out. Remove it from your midst. Keep the nation, the Israelite nation, pure. Verse 10, it continues, "There shall not be found among you anyone that makes his son or his daughter to pass through the fire," that's child sacrifice, "or that uses divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer." It says, "For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Eternal, and because of these abominations, the Eternal your God does drive them out from before you." Drive out these kinds of sins, this kind of evil, this kind of paganism, all of these things. It's an abomination to God. If you read through those few verses, there's, well, it's quite a list. I think there's nine things in particular that God draws attention to. Anyone that makes his son or daughter to pass through the fire, sacrificing children to idols. I think it was Wednesday's program when we asked why all of this violence and immorality. My father, in the Isaiah booklet, Isaiah's End Time Vision, he referred to a verse, Isaiah, I think it's 57, yeah, 57 and verse 5. And then he mentions that anciently the Israelites even got into physically sacrificing their own children. You can't imagine something like that. But then my father says, today we sacrifice our youth spiritually when we give them no uplifting vision. We sacrifice them to sexual lust and fornication. And then he talks about the curse of pornography. He talks about all the vile filth that spreads so quickly on the internet. Sacrificing our children to idols. Well, we've talked about the father and the mother this week. Yesterday we had a short segment on the mother's role. And more we're seeing how children are, well, parents, or rather couples or single ladies, they're opting not to have children. They're sacrificing them in that sense. They don't want children. They see it as a curse. This passage in Deuteronomy says, "One that uses divination," that's the practice of seeking knowledge of the future, or the unknown by supernatural means, It's like a, in other words, under demonic influence, certainly not of God, a soothsayer, and then an observer of times. That's someone who's immersed into astrology. God says, stay away from the enchanters, the fortune tellers. He mentions the witch, those that practice witchcraft or sorcery. The charmer, that's someone fascinated by spells and enchantment. And again, these you might look at this list and say, well, we don't see any of that going on in our society. In fact, it's everywhere. It's been modernized, but look at television shows. Well, don't look at them. But when you consider the content and the wildly popular shows like the Harry Potter series and all the books that young people, once again, young people, they're consuming them by the millions. Those that consult with familiar spirits, a wizard, that would be a wizard in the false prophet sense, and then a necromancer, someone that supposedly communicates with the dead. Stay away from it, God says. Now think about how many of these things just fill the airwaves today. Television shows about witchcraft, about talking with the dead, vampires, witches. These are all quite popular themes, and they may not even be in the horror genre specifically. So you add this. There is a real spirit world. We talked about that horror movie last week about this, what was it? I guess it was some kind of a superhero that went bad and that rules the world. A movie about this evil spirit ruling the world. Where could that come from? Who authored that storyline? Herbert Armstrong had an article back in 1984 on spiritism, and he says it's an abomination to God. He drove out the Gentiles in the days of Joshua for permitting spiritism, and the same punishment is coming upon our nations for permitting spiritism and its kindred arts to flourish. It's actually flourishing in our day. Spiritism and its kindred arts. You see it a lot in popular culture, in the artistic community. Mr. Armstrong says, notice that God condemns the witch, a woman who pretends to contact the spirit of a beloved one or who has recently died, and a consulter of familiar spirits, usually a woman who contacts a particular spirit for information, and a wizard and a necromancer. So he's commenting on this passage we just went through. These are all forms of spiritism. All these forms are condemned by Almighty God. Spiritism is evil. It's a direct instrumentality of the devil. God means business, Mr. Armstrong says. It's a question of following spiritism and rejecting eternal life, or of rejecting spiritism and obeying God in order to receive eternal life. He says finally that spiritism perpetuates the devil's lie that the dead are not really dead. Well, there's all kinds of lies out there that are glorified by popular entertainment. This passage in Deuteronomy 18, Mr. Armstrong, or rather God through Moses, says in verse 13 that you shall be perfect with the Lord your God. That's the objective. Come out of these evil practices and be like God and think like God. We need the Bible. We need God's instruction. This is the foundation of all education. Revelation from God. Verse 14 says, for these nations which you shall possess hearkened unto observers of times and unto diviners. But as for you, the Lord your God has not suffered you to do so. So here again, God emphasizes, don't be like these pagan nations with all their pagan observances. Come out of that and be separate. Come out of this world. You find that same message in the New Testament. Galatians 5, that's in the New Testament, 19 through 21. It talks about the works of the flesh. And Paul in that book refers to witchcraft. The Moffat translation says sorcery or magic. I think it's Amplified that says sorcery. Stay away from it. Paul said there that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So, like he said in that other article, Mr. Armstrong, that is, God is serious. He means business here. He says stay away from it. And so we've got to be very careful about what we allow ourselves and our children to watch, to read. There's just so much that would fall into this category of witchcraft. Mr. Armstrong said in another article, this is from 1961, he said, you need, above all things, to guard the door of your mind. Have a care what enters there. Don't let your mind or the mind of your child become a playground for the devil or all of these demonic spirits. Don't open the door. Slam the door shut on these influences. It says, you and you alone have the stern responsibility for guarding that precious door. Guard the door of your mind. Open your mind to what is proved truth. Rid your mind of bias. Do as the Bereans were commanded, or rather commended for doing. God won't by force put truth into your mind unless you're willing and voluntarily accept it. You can never receive God's truth. You've got to be willing. You've got to be hungry for it. You've got to go after it. It says, conversely, even Satan the devil has no power to force error into your mind. But he is, you see, he is bombarding the airwaves with his vile content. He can't force it into our minds. But if we open our minds up to it, he will flood it with filth, with violence, with pornographic imagery. Mr. Armstrong says, you are a free moral agent. God granted you this freedom, and with it, the stern responsibility for what you accept, believe, and do. So accept this stern responsibility. Be careful day in and day out about what you put into your mind. Steer clear of witchcraft and anything having to do with it. Leviticus 18 is another passage where God warned the Israelites against adopting the doings and the ordinances of the pagan nations around them. Jesus, in that final prayer in John 17, he acknowledged that God's people are in the world, but we're not to be of the world. This is a section from our booklet, Redefining Family. Mr. Hilliker says here, how much do you recognize evil spirit influence in the world around you? Popular culture today is saturated with it. Many people are fascinated by and addicted to increasingly overt forms of rank evil and perversion, yet naively believe it's harmless or even healthful. It says millions are soaking their minds in books, television programs, movies, music, video games, websites, and other media with explicitly demonic messages. No doubt there are demons influencing or even possessing people in order to write books and screenplays, to direct videos and films that consumers are lapping up. We talked about this some last week. on the program about horror movies, the minds that those come out of. No doubt there's demonic influence at play here. He writes, added to these are several other demonic influences, the widespread use of mind-altering drugs, the spread of mental and emotional imbalances and loss of control, the increasing commonality of various perversions of mind and body, open blasphemy and hostility to God. He says, in arena after arena, our society is opening doorways to sinister spiritual influences and creating a hospitable playground for evil spirits to have their way. He says the Bible makes clear that ignorance about these powerful beings leaves us dangerously vulnerable to them. Don't be ignorant about these powerful beings. Satan and his demon army. Draw near to God. Strengthen that relationship with God. Pour your heart into your spiritual requirements each day. First and foremost, we need it to be able to resist against the devil and his influences. We've got to keep those defenses up all the time. The Bible says to be vigilant. The devil's going about as a roaring lion. He wants to devour us. So heed the admonitions in the Bible. Verses like 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 18, where it says to flee fornication. Run away from it. Jesus said that if your right eye offend you, then pluck it out. That's from Matthew 5. If you've got a temptation that's just taking you down the wrong path every day, day after day after day, just cut it off. Disconnect. Cancel the subscription. Get rid of the device. Colossians 3 talks about setting our minds on the things of God. There's so much. We're just being bombarded with so much of this filth. We've really got to have a battle plan to fight against it for our sake, for our family's sake, for our children's sake. Let this mind of Jesus Christ dwell in you. Remember what Mr. Armstrong said there. He's not going to force his instruction or teaching upon you. We have to go and receive it. We have to go get it from God. And it should be at least encouraging as well to know that Satan can't force his deranged thinking on us. But we certainly can if we're weak spiritually. We can open ourselves up to all kinds of demonic influences. So remember that passage. There's others, like my father's reference to Isaiah 57. But go through some of those sections of Scripture, Deuteronomy 18 in particular. There's also verses in Exodus about steering clear of witchcraft and the like. And, of course, Galatians 5, which I referenced earlier. And then those beautiful sections of Scripture about receiving the mind of God, Philippians 2, verses 1 through 5. Coming out of this world, John 17, 2 Corinthians 6, I believe it is. Revelation 18. Lots of powerful, powerful scriptures that perhaps you can study at some point this weekend. Well, with that, we will conclude today's program just a little bit early. You've been so good all week. You've got some extra minutes now to prepare for the big preparation day. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you'd like to email the program, you can send comments to td@kpcg.fm. Thank you for joining us today. Thank you for joining us all week, and we'll see you next week.